Hello, welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. I was just outside in my patio, and I love my patio. It's not huge, but it's perfect. It has a place to sit, it has a grill, it has plants, quite a few plants, and I use them for tea, for cooking. I have parsley, I have lemongrass, I have a lemon tree. It's small, even though it's grown a huge amount since I've been here, but it doesn't have lemons at this point. Apparently, the lemons happen after 5 years. It's 2.5 years in now, but I am growing strawberries, tomatoes. But the thing is, I have an animal that comes at night, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a rat or a rabbit, but it eats all the things I grow. So I was getting a tomato, which is rare because it's slowing down now because it's cooling at night. So I put like a little baggie around the green tomato, you know, thinking the animal won't eat it. And the tomato was ripening and I wanted to eat it for myself. And this morning I see it's gone. It like went through the bag and just took the tomato. And I'm like, no, I wanted that tomato. I have two more tomatoes and I don't know what to do. I don't want to take them off when they're green. So with the strawberry plant, it's been eating all of my strawberries. I bought this netting. It's a plant netting that you get on Amazon. I can put the link in for the episode if anyone else has these problems. But it's a see-through net and you put it around your plant. And nothing gets taken. I guess they could bite into it if they really wanted to. So I don't know. But what happened was this animal, whatever it is, that's why I'm thinking it was a rabbit, because it ate all my parsley. Like I had a full pot of parsley. Nice, beautiful. Next morning, gone. Every single piece of parsley is gone. It just had the stems. And I'm like, what the hell? What the hell? I'm like, it's okay. It's going to come back. So I put this netting around it and it's there. It grew back and I'm so happy about it. But I have to keep the netting around it because this animal is going to keep eating it. So we had this, a friend of ours gave us this seedling of weed. It's like a weed plant, you know, and we weren't going to do anything with it, but we grew it and it grew beautiful. This animal ate all the weed. Maybe it felt really good after, I don't know, but it smelled very strong, you know, when it was being grown. And it was just purely for like, oh, how's it doing today? You know, gone, you know. So I've put netting now around the strawberry plant, around certain herbs that I know that it likes to eat. And it's very, very frustrating. But I guess if I were this animal, I would keep coming back here too, you know, if I get food. So yeah, now I have a patio and I've got plants, but they're all filled with this netting. It sucks. But at least I found a way that it can't eat them. You know, I just want a ripe strawberry. That's all I want. But the tomato plant is so huge and it grows in a strange way that you can't just put like this netting over it. The point is what I want to talk about today. Okay, I read this quote on my calendar and, you know, it's already coming up toward the end of the year, which is crazy. I know I feel like I always say that, but I moved here in April and just the months have flown by. When you work a lot, you make more money. And then I moved here, you know, and basically I spend all my money, but it stressed me out. It would be nice to just not freak out. And I've been working more at the hotel. I've gotten more shifts. So I am making more money, which has been nice. And the farmer's market has picked up. The last couple weeks, I made much more. I sold out almost all my items. And it cooled down the last couple weeks, which has been really great for my sales. So people want all the pretzels, they want all the donuts, and I've made pumpkin spice glazed donuts, as well as apple streusel bars. And then last night, I started a hot chocolate But of course, for a week now, there's a heat wave, right? I start the hot chocolate thing. Oh, it's going to cool down. No, it was not cold last night. I still sold 7. So I do this hot chocolate. I put a little like heavy cream inside the hot chocolate. So it's a little like thicker. I top it with this marshmallow whip, like this fluff. And then I brulee the top. So it's $6 for 12 ounce. And it did really well, you know? So I wonder if it would do really well when it's cold. Makes sense. But I was disappointed because last night with this heat wave, I did not sell as much. So it seems to be that I do better when it cools down. My goal is to go by these doctor's offices or just offices in general, you know, and just give my business card because now the holidays are coming up and I feel like people would order things for the holidays. That's my hope. But I have just not had time. I want to say I work less than I did in Aspen because there it was just like all day, you know? But the thing is now I work, but I wake up at 4 a.m. I have to be at work at 6 a.m. and I finish at 2:30. Like the nice thing is I'm not a chef. I go in, I do my 8 hours and I leave unless he needs overtime. And then he tells you the day of and then you have to stay. Which I'm like, okay, fine. It's good because I get time and a half if you work more than 8 hours in California. So money-wise, it's good, you know, but in the end, it's still a lot of work. It doesn't matter if I'm a chef or not. The difference is you leave after 8 hours. It's a union hotel. You know, they can't take advantage. But that's the thing, too. It's Hilton, and a couple of Hiltons in town and other states have been striking because they want $5 raise within 5 years. So every year, $5. Okay, so let's say on average they're making $25 an hour. It ends on, I think, like $45 an hour in 5 years, which sounds like a lot. Like it is a lot for an hourly. Like if I have a business, I mean, I do have a business, but I can't afford to hire anybody, you know, but having to pay someone $45 an hour, that's awesome for the employee, you know, but that's a lot for the business. At the same time, everyone's being underpaid. Like I'm making $26 at the hotel an hour. It's not a lot. It's not a lot of money. But if you think about it, salary is not a lot of money either. If you work 10, 12, 14 hours, you know, so I was thinking there's a new sous chef. And I don't know what she makes, obviously, but it's probably mid-70s to 80,000 salary, okay? Because probably the executive chef is making 100, 110, around there. So like in California, after taxes, maybe she makes like 30 an hour, right? That's not a huge amount more than what I'm making. Meanwhile, she's working, you know, 10-hour days minimum, the same way I was at the hotel. So technically, salary people are not making a lot. If you think about it, like the cost of living is super high. You know, you can't really live off of $75,000 a year. You need another income in California for that. The unions aren't wrong to want this amount of money hourly, you know, because you think about in 5 years, like what's going to happen in 5 years? You know, the costs are going to continue going up. I mean, hopefully not the way they have been, but who knows? And then nobody can afford anything, you know? So 45 is not unreasonable, but also salary has to go up too. You know, I feel like salary is always stuck at the same. It's always between like 70s to 85 in California. You're lucky if it goes between 90s and 100s, you know? But then if you think about the hours you put in, 100,000 is not a lot if you're working like 14-hour days. So anyway, there might be a strike happening at the hotel I'm at if they don't come to an agreement. There's a Hilton on the Bayfront and they're striking. They still have the hotel open, you know, but obviously there's no cleaning crew, there's no regular staff. So they've been calling in other staff from other hotels or task force, and it's getting bad reviews. They can't clean the rooms the way they were before, or people have to do without cleaning of the rooms during their stay, so they might run out of toilet paper and things like that. Anyway, this property has been on strike almost a month. You know, so when you're on strike, a lot of these employees have been looking for another job because you only get like 60% of your wage through union if you're on strike. So the thing is, there might be a strike at the hotel I'm at, and you don't know until you show up. And I guess then you have to hold up signs. Like, they don't tell you in advance. You know, you go to work thinking you're going to work. Meanwhile, they're like, no, we're striking. And then you have to stand outside with everybody. I guess if you knew in advance, you probably wouldn't stand outside. You know, the whole thing sucks, and I've never worked for a union hotel. You know, and I've never been a union member. I've always been manager. So I've never dealt with this whole thing. There's good and bad in every situation. Like, unions are positive in some ways, negative in others. The fact is, when a company is large, they do take advantage. You know, I've seen that at previous places I've worked, of their hourly workers. Well, and managers, you know, because you work so much. Like, if you don't have hourly workers, you have to make up for any work that has to be done, right? But the more you work, the higher the turnover is of the staff, which was the case in Aspen. So anyway, we'll see if it comes to a strike or not. So I'm working at the hotel for 5 days, and we're doing some cool things. You know, like, there's a lot of work, there's a lot of events. Like, some days there's 3 weddings going on. I've been making a lot of cakes, which I enjoy, but the work is fun. I enjoy the work. It's a good place to work. The pastry chef, he's so organized. Like, everything runs very smoothly. It's a steady place. I don't have to worry about anything. I just go to work, I do the work, and I leave, you know, and I figure out like whatever else I have to do for my business. But the thing is, because I wake up so early and I finish at 2:30, by the time I get home, it's like 3, which is still early, but not if you wake up at 4 a.m. You know, so standing all day and doing all the usual stuff, I'm tired again. It's just been hard trying to figure out an angle for my business. Like, yes, I'm selling pastries, but I'm also good at cakes, you know? So I chose to advertise for these pastries, these German pastries. At the same time, if I made cakes, would that sell better? You know, the pastries are good if they're sold in bulk. Like, nobody's gonna order one $5 item from me. Like, it's not Instacart, right? So I'm trying to figure out the angle, which is why maybe offices would be good for the holidays, because they're gonna order bulk. And I can kind of advertise for events. But then for cakes, like, one person can order a cake, and let's say you can make between $75 and $100 for one cake, right? Depending on the size. And this is like maybe a 6-inch. So I'm trying to figure out the market and what's the best angle. Maybe selling cakes is easier. I don't know. You know, but for cakes, you need space, you need the proper cooling. The farmer's market for me, I know I talk so much about the farmer's market. Currently, it's a good additional way to make money. I don't want to go the farmer's market route. Like, most people in the farmer's market, they work there like 6 days a week, you know, at different markets. It's a lot of work. And going into this, I didn't realize how much work it is. And especially for pastries, because I have to make them in advance, you know, the day of, so they're fresh. I have to prep everything. I have to prep the ingredients so that when I'm in the kitchen, I can just make everything and not scale and stuff like that. You know, so it takes a lot of prep. And then I bring the ingredients home because I'm not doing it in my kitchen. You know, and then I pack everything. I get everything from storage. I pack it for the farmer's market. When I'm there, I put everything up, the tent, like, everything takes time, you know? So setting up for me at the farmer's market takes an hour, like, minimum, you know? And then I have my little camping oven, which heats up things. I set out the pastries, you know, everything takes time. Yeah, it's a all-day affair, you know? So it's not worth it if I'm only making like $150 or something. Because I would make that at the hotel. The thing is, yes, this is from my own business. And I'm not great at staying in something long term. It's not a secret. You know, I do have a lot of ideas. And if something doesn't work, I move on to the next one. And maybe I move on too quickly. You know, I need to kind of stick with something longer. And this is like a struggle within myself. And it's obvious looking at my resume, for example. You know, I've been a lot of places, 1-2 years. The longest place I was working wise was 5 years. And I wanted to leave so many times in that 5 years. You know, like I never would have stayed 5 years had it not been for my mom, because that's the job I had in Arizona. And had my mom not been there, I would have left that cafe probably after a year, 2 years max. You know, I never would have stayed 5 years, was it not for family. But having something long-term on your resume is positive. You know, if you see this whole resume every 2 years, like this person's leaving, okay, it's a pattern. You know, are they dependable? I don't know. It's hard for me to stick with something if it doesn't work out. You know, I just move on to the next thing. And that's kind of how I've been feeling about the farmer's market. I'd been making money. You know, people like my items and I sell 3 items for $13. I kind of do like a deal. I'm creating a base. You know, there's regulars that I have that keep coming back and it's good. So far, I've been doing this for like 3.5 months. Every Tuesday, this is the only farmer's market. I did have an opportunity to start at another market on Sundays, but the thing is, I don't want to go the farmer's market route. I want to do more catering only because I don't have waste, right? Like I never know how much I'm going to sell at the market. It's always kind of a guess. Either I sell out or I have items left, you know, but I don't want to make too little. Because what if I sell more and then I can't make more money because I don't have more items, you know? So it's very hard to know how much to make at these markets. And then the catering route, you don't have waste. You know, you just make what the people want and then you get your money. That's it. You never know how much money you're going to make. One day I almost made $500, but then you got to think, okay, the tent is 60, right? Like the space for the tent. The kitchen is like $50. Your food cost is $50, you know, so at least $180, $200, right? You have to deduct of whatever you make. And never mind all the things I've been buying for it. Like, that's not even paid off yet, you know, if you think about everything I spent for it. But at the same time, it's good side money, you know, even though it's just one day a week. So I'm still making money, even though I talked so long about it to start off. Now I'm like, oh, I want to get out because it's just so tiring, you know? And today is my day off, my only day off, and I can't sleep very long. So I still woke up at 6. Yes, it's like 2 hours longer than normal, but I went to bed at 11 because after the market, I bring the stuff in. I put things away, I clean certain containers, and then the car is still filled with all my stuff and I have to bring that to storage today. You know, so I can't imagine doing it every day. I think I'm going to stick with it till the end of the year. We'll see. Like only because Christmas is coming, it's cooling down, and I think I could sell more. You know, when it gets cooler, people seem to want my type of pastries more. So I'm going to stick it out and see, I'm going to stick with it. So I read this quote that I've been working out to tell you, and I saw it on the calendar that I was talking like 10 minutes about. Okay, it says, for October, there's a quote. It says, always do your best. What you plant now, you will harvest later. And there is pictures of pumpkins, right? You're going to harvest your pumpkins later. So I was thinking about it. What I'm planting now, I'll see later, right? I have to stick with it and see it grow. This isn't going to happen overnight. Like in my head, I thought, oh, I'll sell a lot more, you know, only because in the past, of what was sold at the cafe, of what I've seen sell. But that took a buildup as well. That took time for people, you know, to keep coming back, to find a base. It's the same with this. I'm only there once a week. I can't expect freaking, you know, $1,000 days, right? So that's why I have to go buy businesses and give them my cards. You never know, right? I just have to like stay on it. So I'm thinking, okay, after work one day, I just have to do like a building, maybe just one building per day. You know, when I did it like a month ago, randomly, at like doctors and hospitals, I also wore a cute dress. Like, it makes sense to look nice, you know, give out my business cards. You know, it's an effort, right? And I'm not always feeling like that after work. And then I don't look super nice because I wake up at 4 a.m. and I'm wearing these like work pants, you know. So it's a thing, right? I have to have this motivation because what I do now, right, what I plant now, I will harvest later. It's the same with the things outside of my patio. I'm planting all these strawberries and tomatoes, you know, and months down the road, 6 months down the road, that's when I get my fruit. Technically, if this animal weren't eating it, right, if someone doesn't steal your stuff, just keep that in mind, right? If you have a goal, stick with it. You know, and I'm saying this to you as much as I'm saying it to myself, because in my head, I'm like, it's not working. You know, I have to do the next thing. But no, I just have to stick with it. You know, and certain friends of mine, like they're traveling, they're going to Europe. And I'm just like, like I want to travel. I want to do and see things. Like in my head, I'm always this crazy person wanting to do all this stuff, you know? But I need money for that. I have like no money, okay? And now things are starting to like come together, okay? So I got here in April. It took, what are we now? It took 6 months for things to start coming together, right? Like I have a routine. I have my set days at work. I have my farmer's market, even if it's just one day a week. Like I had an opportunity to do it another day at a different market, but I'm torn between my regular job and this. You know, I know what I'm going to get at my regular job. And at a market, it's a different market, right? You have to set a new base, new people, new crowd. Like every market, you have to like work into it, right? So I don't know if I'm ready for more markets. You know, I just want to find a different angle to sell things. You know, even if I stick with this market and just go buy businesses and give my card versus doing another day at a market. I will be teaching in the next year, like in January, February, I'm going to start teaching. So that's going to change my schedule again. You know, my hope is to just teach and sell my items, you know, through online, which is sweetcatpastries.com. Again, in my head, everything comes different than it is in life. You know, we all have these different imaginations and dreams in our heads, you know, but we'll see how it goes in real life. Remember, what you plant now, you will harvest later. So just keep that in the back of your head. If you're planning something new or being impatient like I am, and at the same time, working a lot, I've got the sciatica, and it's a new thing. So when I drive, my right leg hurts. And at first I was like, oh, this is new. You know, what is that? And I thought it was my knee, you know, because in the past from skiing, I had a couple accidents or hiking, you know, like when I fell on my knee, because I did physical therapy for that in Aspen in the past. But turns out it's not my leg or my knee. It comes from my lower back. There's a nerve that's being pinched, and standing all the time, it's not helping. And so when I'm driving, my right leg hurts, you know, and especially, you know, my car is automatic, right? So your leg is always in the same position. So through friends, through Brazilian friends, they know this. He's like a masseuse, you know, but he works on UFC fighters in Las Vegas, and he does this whole thing. So basically, if you find like 3 to 5 people, they each pay $100 and he works on these people in a room. You know, you wait your turn. So I did it with a couple of friends. It was amazing. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, first of all, he massages you, like your rough spots. And then he puts in acupuncture needles. I've done acupuncture in the past. You know, it's not my first go-to, but he put needles in where my sore spots were. It hurt, all right, because these are sensitive areas. It hurt when he put the needle in, but then the needle stays there. And the pressure is relieved. Like, it feels tense, okay? But then after maybe 30 minutes, he takes out the needles, and it's like he takes out the pain with it. It was crazy. He takes out the needle and then all of the tension is gone that I've been having. And it was amazing. So then after the acupuncture, he uses this roller on you. It's like this automatic roller. I don't know how to describe it, but it feels amazing. And then he puts this towel on you. And I don't know exactly, but he sprays something on it. I guess alcohol, I would say. And then he lights a fire on your back. And I saw it done to a friend. You know, I was sitting there and I was like, oh my God, I don't need to see this. I can't see this because it's freaking me out, right? Like, he's lighting a fire on your back. And I'm just thinking, oh my God, her hair. Like, like, please don't light her hair. But he puts a towel kind of over it. And so what this does, this fire, it's hot and the heat builds through the towel, but it relaxes your back. What happens is when you go to the chiropractor, he loosens you up and then he does like cracking. But the thing is, if you're not fully relaxed, if your body's not warm, then you lose your corrected cracks, let's say, right? Like, I'm not doing the right terms here, but you know what I'm talking about, I think. So he does this fire and really heats up your body so that you're relaxed. And then he corrects your joints and your spine. And because he used the fire on it, it stays. It's more likely to stay because your body's warm, you know, and relaxed. So he does this fire. So I laid down. He did the acupuncture. He laid this towel over my back and head. He sprayed alcohol. And then you just hear like this whoosh, you know, like this fire sound. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, super tense. But then it feels amazing. Like, as long as I'm not seeing it, I'm fine. Like, I don't need to see it. I'm just in denial. But I feel the heat. And he's like, tell me when it gets hot. You know, and I'm feeling the heat. I'm feeling the heat. It's getting hotter. It's getting hotter. But it's okay. Like, I can stand it. And then it's like, oh, wow, this is super hot. I'm like, it's hot. It's hot. And then he stops it. I was going to say he turns it off. Like, can you turn off fire? Like, no, it's not water. But he stops it, I guess, with another towel over it. It felt very, very nice. Like, I've never had fire on me, okay? And then he did cupping, which is like, and I don't know how to describe it, but you've got these plastic cups and you light them up on the inside. Like, you put heat on the inside with like a match or something, and then you put it against your back or wherever your pain is. And it suctions that part of the muscle. And as it's suctioning, it's relieving stress, relieving the knots you have. And then you leave the cups on there for, let's say, 15, 20 minutes. You take it off, and then just your stress is gone, right? Your knot is gone, and it feels amazing. But it might leave this round cup, right, mark, which is usually like blood vessels, you know, so it looks red underneath. But he was saying, like, he did it on me and you could barely see the cup marks. And he's saying that means you have a good diet. You know, you don't eat a lot of like junk food. And that's true. Like, I don't eat junk food. You know, my always, right? Like my weakness is dessert and sugar, which is pretty bad. But the other friends, they had really bad cup marks and they were saying, you know, they don't have a great diet, you know, so it was interesting how that affects it. But it was just such a great adjustment and I felt like I could just go to sleep right away. It was amazing, you know. And then we watched the sunset over the bay in San Diego because my friends live close to the bay on this hill. So you could just see the sunset. I mean, living in San Diego versus Aspen, right now in Aspen, the leaves are turning. You know, it's just calm. It's peaceful. It's nature oriented. You know, I miss that. I do miss that. At the same time, if I could live in Aspen and not have to work at a hotel, like if I could have a lot of money and win the lottery, you know, I would love to have an apartment or something in Aspen just because it's so quiet and beautiful. But it wasn't worth it next to the stress of the hotel, you know, so it was a hard balance. It really was. But I do miss Aspen. Like, it's such a beautiful, beautiful place. And I guess if there was more of a balance for me, which is so hard, especially as a manager role in a kitchen, you know, it's there's never a balance. There really isn't, you know. And I see it with the chef here now, how he stresses out. And I'm like, oh my God, thank God I'm not in a manager role. Like, am I struggling more for money? Yes. But I have a lot less stress, and that's made a huge difference. You know, obviously there's a different kind of stress when you don't have as much money. But I remember the stress I would have, you know, in the kitchen as a manager and just dealing with these other chefs, dealing with these events. It's a different stress. And my husband's been helping out a great deal. He's been super supportive. Fortunately, he's making good money, which is why I moved here. Like, if he wasn't doing well, I probably wouldn't have moved here. As far as if two people aren't doing well, that's not a good sign. But he's been super supportive and amazing. It's been a good transition. I'm used to cities, right? I lived in New York. I lived in LA. Like, I'm transitioning fine, but I'm just amazed looking back. Yes, it's taken 6 months to have a routine. And even that's going to change in a few months based upon my teaching. So a couple weeks ago, friends and I, like the whole Brazilian crew, right? We went out for Korean barbecue and they'd never had Korean barbecue. Like, if you know anything about Brazilian culture, there are a lot of barbecues. Any reason to celebrate, barbecue. Like, that's what you do. And I've talked about this. They don't venture out typically to other cuisines of food, like Asian, Mexican. They stick with what they know, what they miss from Brazil. And that's typically their go-to. Like, I love other cuisines, especially Asian. I've really kind of been missing that. So a friend, one of the Brazilian friends, she's been open to it, right? For me to pick places to try. So I'm like, yes, let's try it. You know, and because she's into it, like, other people are open to trying it. So we all went, a group of seven, to Korean barbecue. And it was so much fun. Like, it's really, every culture has its own barbecue, right? And the difference is with Korean barbecue, it's the same freaking thing. Like, it's a ton of meat, but you cook it yourself on your own mini kind of stove in front of you, and you dip it in Asian sauces, and it's delicious, right? So, of course, they loved it, and it was $37 per person, all you can eat. But I'm not kidding, like, it's all you can eat. So there's all these kinds of cuts of meat. There's seafood, there's veggies. I mean, there's so much food. But it was a lot of fun. And then afterwards, we went to this bar and sang karaoke. Well, I did. I was like the only one who sang karaoke. Nobody else wanted to. They were too scared. But there was a pool table and darts. Like, there were other things to do. So it was fun. I guess like a month ago now, my dad visited. And I don't know if I talked about that. I feel like everything is just a blur. But my dad visited for a few days, and it was nice because we went to one of the local beaches. It was like 30 minutes away. It was more further up the coast, only because during the summer there was a sewer issue going on with beaches around San Diego, where there's a sewer leaking in Mexico, and the current was bringing up bacteria up the coast. And anyway, if you went further up the coast, these beaches were fine. So we went to this one beach. I think it was called Solara, I want to say. Maybe I'm getting that wrong, but it was a beautiful beach, strong waves, like a lot of surfers, but there wasn't a lot of sand. You know, there was only a small distance where you could put your stuff, and then the water was right there, and the waves went up almost all the way. So all these people, it was a Saturday, so all these people that were coming for the day, you know, we were all like super close together because there wasn't a lot of space. So I brought my little beach tent, set it down, but then the water started coming higher and higher. So my dad and I, we would build these sand walls, you know, and people were making fun of us like it wasn't going to help, even though it did. But the water went super close to the edge and the people were huddled, you know. So my dad and I got there early, and then all these other people went right next to us or behind us. And then my dad and I were just sitting outside the tent, like on this beach chair. This family comes, they set up these like football chairs. So I guess it's a thing. They're chairs with nets on them, so you can stick them in the sand. And they set them up for their kids, like right in front of us. I'm like, are you like kidding me? So then the kids start playing and the sand kicks up and goes everywhere. And I was about to say something and she's like, it's fine, I'll move it. I was like, yes, you know. So I'm looking behind me, like when my dad and I got there, it was empty. A couple hours later, packed. Like the whole beach is packed, you know. And then you've got all these random like games, you know, that parents are bringing for their kids. It was like this craziness. So my dad and I left and we got ice cream. And I forget which place, but it was nice of him to visit. Rodolfo did a barbecue for him twice. You know, it was very sweet. And my dad couldn't eat that much, but I think, you know, he enjoyed it, but it gave Rodolfo a lot of joy to have these barbecues. So we did that. The nice thing is San Diego is a lot easier to get to versus Aspen. Like, I would have loved it if people could have visited me in Aspen. I mean, yes, my brother did and we went skiing, but San Diego is a lot easier to get to. So it was nice that he could visit. A few days ago, it was Rodolfo and I's 1 year anniversary of meeting on a plane. Like, can you believe it? It's already been a year. Jeez. So a year ago, I flew to San Diego for the Coldplay concert. And last night, actually, at the farmer's market, a man of a family, he was wearing a Coldplay shirt. And I said, was that from last year? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I went to that. You know, so a year ago, that's when I visited San Diego. And flying back on the plane to Denver, that's when I met my husband. So we celebrated our 1 year anniversary of meeting. And we went to this restaurant called Bali High. And it was such a cool place. It's right on Shelter Island on the bay. Beautiful. And we went nighttime, so there were heat lamps outside. The building is round and it's just glass all around. And there's seating on the inside around all of the windows. But then we sat outside and we had a view of downtown San Diego and the bay. And it was restaurant week, so we had a set menu. It was like coconut shrimp. We had this short rib over these Chinese spice noodles. So Bali High was this, I guess, Hawaiian fusion themed. I do recommend not having items off of restaurant week, because what it does is it brings people to the restaurant to try it. Okay, that's the reason we were there, because of restaurant week. But the items off of the menu were better than the ones for restaurant week. I mean, yes, that's probably typical, because for restaurant week, it's more of a deal, right? So short rib was made in advance. It was delicious. you know, but it's fast plate up. They just want you to eat and then leave, right? They're not gonna make something super expensive and prepare it, but it takes a long time if you're only spending a set amount of money. Restaurant week is good because you get to try and see what's out there with other restaurants. But I think ordering stuff off of the regular menu tastes better. Obviously, it's more expensive. So we also got calamari off the regular menu. And then for dessert, we got this ice cream sandwich you could choose. It was very good. It was made in-house, you know, so it was like I had an oatmeal cookie with a maple ice cream. It was nice. You know, so we celebrated our 1 year. And then afterwards, we met up with some Brazilian friends who were having a barbecue because their cousin was visiting from Brazil. Of course, a reason to have a barbecue. So that was nice. So we stayed out. And speaking of Hawaiian cuisine, you know, Bali High, we booked a flight to Hawaii in January 2025 for our honeymoon, our delayed honeymoon. We never had a honeymoon. Like, we went to Vegas, got married, and then a couple weeks later, we went camping for a few days. But this is our official honeymoon. We booked the flights. We're going to the main island of Hawaii, which I've never been to. Rodolfo has never been to any island in Hawaii. And it's hard to decide, you know, because they're all beautiful in different ways. So we'll see. I think the big island would be nice because it's more secluded. But I would love to see an active volcano, you know, which is on the big island. Like, do you remember years ago where they had that active volcano in Iceland and it messed up travel to Europe for a couple weeks? I think it was during COVID. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe before then. I don't know. But that was kind of crazy how you could see the active volcano from space. I don't need dramatic volcano. I would just like to see an active volcano. And then at the farmer's market, you know, I have some fall items. Like I said, the apple streusel bar, because I have a strawberry streusel bar. And in the apple one, I put like mashed apples with cinnamon and nutmeg to make it like an apple pie. And then I also have my donut with a pumpkin spice glaze. And then I will be serving hot chocolate. I put on that marshmallow fluff and brulee at the top. It's like a burnt, not burnt, but like a bruleed marshmallow on top, right? Like, brulee sounds a bit fancier. I feel like I've been out of control at work as far as tasting things. You know, it's early morning when I get there. We make a lot of puddings, a lot of brulees, a lot of cake sponges. Like, there's a full program of cakes. So I feel like every day there's some sort of cake being made. And it's easy. It's easy to snack on things, right? And that's the thing. I've been snacking on all these things. And the more sugar you eat, the less hungry you are, right? Like, by the time I would have to go to lunch, I wasn't really hungry because I've snacked on all these, like, sweet things. But I've noticed I've gotten more of a belly, and I know it's because of the sugar. I ordered this. It's called thermogenic fat burner. I was looking at diet pills, you know, just to see, right? I don't want to take diet pills because they all have their own side effects. Like, I exercise, I do what I can. The only difference is between here and Aspen, maybe I was eating more veggies in Aspen, but I was also living alone. You know, it's different when you're preparing meals, eating with somebody. You know, it's different. I guess now there's more meat in my diet, even though I'm trying not to eat as much, you know, so that's different too. And being outside in Aspen, like, I was outside all the time just to relieve stress. You know, I go on a bike ride. So maybe I'm outside less here, even though I try and go to the beach and things like that. I kayak a couple times. Like, once I kayaked with the sunrise, which is beautiful. It takes more of an effort here to go out because you have to drive. You know, it's a city, so you have to get to the place you're going to. Whereas in Aspen, you're in nature, right? Like, I could get home, get on my bike, and just be out for 30, 40 minutes, right? It was right there. You're in it. So that's different. And now at work, I'm snacking more and it's all this sweet stuff. So I was looking at diet pills to see, you know, maybe this would just help me not crave these things, right? Like, I'm not hungry, but I see it and I love like whipped cream and I love like all these things. So I'm like, oh, well, let me just try it. And we make so many things at the hotel because there's all these events, you know, so you could be tasting all day. That was what I was doing. And now I don't have to. I don't need it. I don't need to taste everything. I'm not the chef. Yes, I have to taste and make sure I did it right. But that's it. I don't have to taste everything the way I used to. But now I just taste it because it tastes good. I found this one diet pill. So it's called Thermogenic Fat Burner on Amazon. And under it, it says Brazilian Lean. Of course it says Brazilian, right? Everything now is Brazilian. That's not why I ordered it. And it's basically like green tea. There's caffeine. And I started taking it. You take it in the morning, preferably with some food. It has reduced my cravings. So let's say, you know, I tasted everything at work. Now I taste maybe 30%, you know, so it makes me just not want to taste it, which is the goal, right? That's what I was going for. And then when I do taste something, I taste it only because like I want to try it, but I notice I'm not hungry, you know, so I know it's in my head. And I guess I wonder, what is the emotional side of this? Like, why am I tasting all this stuff? You know, because everything in your life, it triggers some sort of emotional side, right? Like, what am I trying to fulfill by eating and tasting these sweets? You know, is it just like all the changes I'm going through? Is it, who knows, right? But I know it does have something to do with that. Like, in some ways, I feel like right now, things are out of control in my life. Like, if you think about it, you never really are in control, right? You think you are because you have like this routine, you do what you do, but anything can change that at any time, right? Like there's so many freak accidents or something amazing could happen. Like anything can change that routine, right? And I've just been trying for these past 6 months to really figure it out, to be this independent person that I have been, but it's been really hard and I haven't been. You know, I gave up everything to move here, which included what I was making money-wise. You know, and that, I think that really affected me, like on an emotional level, because I haven't been independent. I haven't been able to pay rent the way I was planning to, only because I wasn't getting as many shifts at the hotel. So it's really been an adjustment that I find it's been more challenging, you know, just emotionally and mentally. This is a different stage in my life. And it's okay. Like, thankfully, my husband is supportive and, you know, he wants me to succeed. He's helping me with this business. And it's been amazing. You know, at the same time, it's still adjustment, you know, and I have to be patient with myself. But I do feel that I've been tasting and eating the sugar as a void, you know, like I don't know what's going to happen with my business. It's like I want things to go faster than they are. It just takes time. Like I've been saying, you know, what you plant now, you will harvest later. Like, just be patient with yourself, be patient with your projects. And that's the thing, just be patient, you know, and that is my number one hardest thing to do, is have patience. So yeah, definitely emotionally, I would say that's been hard for me, you know, and I know that I try and replace that with sugar. And just overall, it's been an adjustment, you know, being married, starting this new life. I'm happy. There's really beautiful sides to everything. And it's just changing. It's easy to live alone. It's easy to have this single life, you know. At the same time, when you're in that spot, you miss company, you miss other things. You know, everything's a balance. Is everything black and white? No, there's a lot of gray, you know, and overall, this is just a new adjustment. I haven't put up my pole, which I'm missing, you know, because it takes up like certain space. Like it's not just me living in this apartment. even though I do have a lot of things and I've been trying so hard to have less things and make an effort, you know, and that's the thing, like both sides are making an effort, just trying to live together. There have been a lot of changes for me as well as for my husband, you know, looking at it, you know, how is it affecting me emotionally? You know, and sometimes it's okay to ask yourself, like, why am I craving this? You know, why am I eating more of this? And there's usually always like a reason for it. You know, for me, it's eating sweets. For someone else, you know, there's all these addictions, right? Like there's everything. Everyone I work with has like diabetes because they've been working there for so many years, like 17, 20 years. And just all this snacking, all this tasting, sugar every day, you know, like that's scary. So I don't want that. I don't want to do that because looking back, I've eaten so much sugar and I love it. Like I love desserts, but I don't want diabetes. And my last test when I went to the doctor, it was good. Like I was healthy, but I wasn't that many points away from high blood sugar. You know, so I'm trying this fat burner. I want to eat less sugar. I want to have less cravings. Let's see if it makes a difference. Like so far, I do notice a difference, you know, so check it out. I'll put a link on it about this episode and you can check it out yourself on Amazon. I do notice a difference. You know, I was looking at this other diet pill called Ally, and this pill sounds crazy to me. Basically, and I've had a friend who's used it and it works. You do lose weight, you know, but for me, it's not necessarily about the weight. It's like the sugar is giving me a belly and it's raising my blood sugar, right? It's not about the fat, right? Because there are healthy fats, you know? For me, it's just about eating less sugar, having less cravings. So this Ally pill, you take the pill and it takes out the fat that you eat, okay? So you can't have any fat. Like, yes, okay, you're gonna lose weight by not eating any fat. But what happens is you have to keep running to the bathroom because the fat is literally coming out of your butt, you know? You have to, like, take a shit. But it's fat that's coming out. So you can't eat fatty foods so that you don't have to run to the bathroom. And apparently whatever you're eating, like some reviews suggest that you put on a pad, you know, because you can't control when the fat is coming out, like this orange stuff, which sounds kind of scary, right? Like, but if I'm working in a kitchen, I don't need to keep running to the bathroom because something's coming out of me, you know, uncontrollably. Obviously, knowing that, you're not going to eat fat, right? If you have to run to the bathroom. But when I'm at the farmer's market, I can't go anywhere. I can't even go pee. Like, it's just me, right? So I have to be at the market and stand there for 4 hours. So can you imagine I'm taking this pill and I have to quickly run somewhere? I can't. I have to stay there. So this pill, it's probably the most drastic as far as over-the-counter, you know, stuff. And I'm sure I would lose weight. But again, it's not about the fat, right? It's about the sugar. So I didn't get that one. I'll continue to let you know how this other one works that I'm taking. And I just take it once a day. And so far, it's just been working great at work that I don't taste everything. So thank you for listening to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. Check out the links for this episode if you're interested in any of the items. And until next time,